Hey, yo, what's good? Check it out. This your boy, Elder Sensei, one half of the legendary artifacts. You are right now in tune to my man, Tim Einenkel, at the library. Let's get it popping, y'all. Artifacts. Peace, Elder Sensei. I'm out.
One half of the legendary group, Smith & Wesson. Tech has been killing it for years. He has not lost a lyrical step, and he continues to grow as an artist. He's set to release his second solo album, Skin on Trial, real soon, and he joins me in the library with Tim Einenkel. Thanks for joining me, Tech.
Good looking. Thanks for having me. Salams, people.
Grind with me, you shine with me. Niggas since 16 and ain't none hit me.
So I want to start from the beginning. What drew you to rap and hip-hop culture, and has that kind of passion stayed the same throughout your career so far?
I mean, yeah, this way of life, this hip-hop game chose me, Smith & Wesson, us, from young. I mean, my father was a musician, my mom was a minister. So my family is music oriented, and growing up in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, where I'm from, you know, so much negativity to get into, and the music was always an outlet for, you know, if you could speak about it as you do it, and you could do it, and it'll help you see life in a different perspective in different ways. And I think the first hip-hop song that made me get into it may have been Run DMC joint, and then Slick Rick, and then G-Rap and everything from there. It's been beautiful ever since.
You talk about, I know in interviews you talked about how G-Rap, Slick Rick were your influences, but, you know, there's like, comedians have like the comedian.
Mm-hmm.
For you, is there like an MCs that no one would really know about, but like he might have been a Brooklyn dude, or you know, she might have been a Brooklyn chat, and you know, you picked up your stuff from there as well?
I mean, Brooklyn is the melting pot of everything, so I had a wide variety of different people or influences, music, Rave Gay, Yellow Man, Super Cat. My older sister used to date a few dreads that introduced me into the other part of life. Like, they would come to the crib with guns under their hat, in the dreadlocks, take the hat off, the crown, all the dreads fall to the ground. You're like, yo, digging the army duffel bag, pulling out mad packs of weed and everything. But it was so many. Like, my man, rest in peace, Half a Mil, was a major influence. Eka Mouse, of course, like I said, Yellow Man, Bob Marley, Buju, of course. What's my man? Holy War, Sir Abu and the DFC. Like, they used to just go from different spectrums and come right back.
Besides your own music, is there like an album or like a go-to track for you that kind of like helps you focus on your lyrics or just escape from whatever happening?
Oh, man, it's numerous albums like that. It's really too music to name, because music is so broad and beautiful that, like I say, it calms a savage beast and it puts you in a mind state where you can really think and focus on your day. Like, out here, like, getting sets in the park, it opens your mind as well as the lungs to enhance the body and the mind. Like, you can't build on one without building on the other. So, I mean, for albums like that, of course, it was Stevie Wonder. It was Marvin Gaye. It's just times. It depends on the energy and the vibe that the day is giving off and the mood that I'm either trying to get in or trying to get out of. So it's not just hip-hop for me. It goes all across the board.
You come from an era where I imagine you might have been that guy who, like, always had, like, a notebook in his backpack, kind of.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Shit, I went through plenty of composition books.
But you talk to some like new MCs today, and it's like when they have an idea for something, they text it. You know, they text it to themselves,
yeah, cool.
Email.
I mean, we got into that too. But recently, I would say maybe last year and a half, I just started really writing into the book. I don't know, something just came over in the studio where I didn't want to write in the phone no anymore, and it didn't feel right. It just felt natural. Just grabbing a Sharpie or a pen and just pinning it in a notebook. So,
did you ever feel you might
that,
like,
I've been on that.
Did you ever feel you also couldn't text fast enough? So maybe you.
Nah. I ain't really got to text too fast to anybody. My partner, if I'm in the studio, my partner is there, or my son, or anyone who needs to reach me, they know exactly where I'm at. So I'm not a texting person anyway. I pick up the phone and call and let it be gone.
I want to talk a little about your solo work. You released your first
Niggas in Trouble
solo thing in 2010. And that was 15 years after Smith & Wesson released The Shining. What was the first for you? What was that major adjustment going from a group MC to a solo MC?
I mean, it was... It's not hard readjusting. It's you know, it's just about reinvention. I wouldn't say it's hard readjusting, because if you're constantly writing, then it's nothing. You can write, do it, even if you're working with a partner, you probably end up having to write in two verses so y'all both can have two 16s or 16 and a 12. So it's nothing once you already halfway through a verse to write another verse and you already got a concept of a song, it's nothing to pen another two 16s. I mean, writing really is really the easiest part, because the words is going to flow. They're going to come to you naturally and you're going to write it down. You just have to write fast enough so you don't forget so you don't forget the thought of it. But once you got the chorus and the concept of the song, writing is the least of your worries.
So before we talk about the purpose of your sophomore hour, Skin on Trial, I want to ask you, so this is 7 years after your first solo album, right? So I think you're in a unique situation, because if you were like a strict solo MC, this would be a long period, you know,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, so for me, it wasn't really never about making a solo album or solo project. It's just really keeping my steel sharp.
Right.
Just like a professional killer, I gotta keep killing every now and then so my skills are, you know, I know how to move around and get away from here if I gotta leave anything at the scene less than 60 seconds. So it wasn't really like I had a solo deal or anything like that. It was just me perfecting my craft. That's all, just staying working and making so much music instead of just sitting on it. You put it together and, you know, it becomes a project.
The video for Skin on Trial, it's obviously a very powerful video with your lyrics, which are also equally powerful. What purpose does this kind of track serve for you? I mean, does it help you make sense of what's going on? Does it just something that, like, you don't know what to feel, so you just get write stuff down, or?
No, well, actually, when I first even started working on Skin on Trial, it wasn't as blatant in our faces as it is right now. And it was just something that I felt needed to be touched on, period, because it's not like racism ever went anywhere or stopped. It was still there. It was just a subject that too many people that had a platform such as myself or Mike that can reach out to the younger generation or even a generation of now or my generation to be like, yo, this shit is happening all over the place. We might not see it in our backyard, but trust and believe, it's down the corner, down the block, around the corner, and it's really going down. And when I really first started initiating writing on that, it was more to just bring awareness to what it is, because I had just had a friend that was on that got hurt and killed due to some police brutality shit, and you know, just a bunch of bullshit that could have been prevented, that didn't even have to go as far as it went. So that was just my stand to make awareness of it, and me having a son, raising a young black man, to let him know and try to give him the jewels or know how to, I don't want to say survive, but how to maintain and grow in this economy that we live in now, in this world that we live in now, and to deal with the fuckery of what's around you taking place, and be aware of it and know what it is and be able to describe it, be able to see it and how to move and adjust to it and overcome it, basically.
Is this track kind of a representation of kind of what the entire sophomore album will be like?
It really is. It's more of an awareness album. That's why the whole joint was called Skin on Trial, because it's just, as again, as a black man in this society, we already guilty. We're already guilty by the color of our skin, the tattoos that we rock, the style of clothes that we wear, how we wear them, the slang that we talk, the way we move, the cars we drive. If you tint too dark, they're going to pull you over. They're going to snatch you up for anything. An unjustable search and seizure can go down quicker than you know it. You get pulled over for a stop sign, and all of a sudden you go into jail for having a warrant that came 28 years ago. Like, right. Come on, for real? And it might not even be non serious. It might be just urination in public or something. And then you facing time because you can't afford bail or get bailed out. And then now you're sitting up for another 3 months, a bullet, a year, and shit like that over real nonsense. So it was just, again, just to bring awareness to what we're dealing with as men and the way that society is trying to demoralize us and remove us from our household or the forefront like we should be to raise our kids, male, female, sons, daughters, into the shape and mold them into the kings and queens that they're meant to be.
The track Roses off Monumental kind of throws out the like the stereotypical idea of what it is to be a man, right? Like, it's a very, I think, emotional track. It's the idea of, like, you know, tell me you love me while you're here.
I mean, say, yeah, that's for anybody. That doesn't have to be, that's not just for a man. I mean, but we go through it the most as being men because we may look at it as being girly or too sensitive, wearing emotions on your heart on your sleeve. But as my brother, and I tell him that I love him, and I make sure he knows that. So I mean, that goes for homeboys, homegirls. Like, the world out here is wicked, man, and any day could be your last. You here today, gone tomorrow, ASAP.
What was the reaction when that track came out?
I mean, it was, the reaction was pretty doggone good, truthfully. I mean, even recording it, it felt different. Even making it, being that it was we did the whole album with Pete Rock Production.
Right.
So, just the title of it, the album itself, Monumental, was crazy. When we first heard the beat, I was like, oh no, I know who I gotta get on the chorus for this already. And it was just like, once I sent it out to the Ock, our brother Freeway, he put his foot on it, and from there, it was done deal. Something to both of them, what would it be? What about your brother just got murdered? When you was crying, saying sorry, do you think that he heard it? For 7 years, sister's not speaking. A car accident, claim one and not the other tweaking. One cousin killer next over 3 keys. Hip-Hop
DX said that Monumental was a, quote, celebration of Tech and Steel's careers. Did you guys approach this album thinking that this would be a celebration of your careers, or is that just something like
a celebration of our careers? Yeah. Like, nah, that's kind of, nah, I don't think that was in our mind. I think when we started recording it, we was just going in with the idea of, yo, it's time for some new Smith & Wesson. We need to get on our job and do what we got to do. So how would we make a dope ass body of work, man? This is like a Monumental is shining. I gotta count it on fingers, like how many albums it is, like almost. And that's funny because that's how the title came up, and it was like, yo, we got Pete Rock doing a whole Smith & Wesson album. Like, you don't hear too much of one producer doing a whole body of work for an artist. This right. is Monumental. And it was just like bing, 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 bing. That's it. And it just stuck with it. And throughout the course of the stage of preparing it, every song just started falling into its gap of where it was supposed to be at.
Were you three in studio the whole time together during this
production? Yeah, I mean, it was days that maybe one showed up a few hours later or whatever the case may be. Family issues came up, couldn't make it, but yeah, for the whole shit, we was right there in the studio each night together with it.
I'm going to turn to an older track. The engineer-producer, Rich Ahe, talked about the track, the video game beats, and the track that you guys made.
The Mario joint?
Yeah, Super Brooklyn.
Okay.
He talked about how, like, he was playing the track, and he remembers you guys coming into him, like, what's that beat, what's that beat, what's that beat?
Mm-hmm. Damn, what studio was that? That was 78, 88.
Do you remember if that was like the first, during that time, was that the first video game type beat you guys heard that he was playing? And then kind of what drew you to, I mean,
for the most part, it was when we walked in, if I'm not mistaken, first part of the question, yeah, that was probably, I mean, it wasn't really the, well, damn, Beans did do a Pac-Man beat. So it was really like, not too far off of each other. Some people had dibbled with Donkey Kong, so it wasn't really the first time I heard a video game beat like that. But when we got there, originally, if I'm not mistaken, I think he said that beat was supposed to be for Mr. Cheeks. And he said Cheeks didn't like it or didn't want to fuck with it or some shit. And we was like, yo, you bugging. Send that. And from there, that was it. Mario. Super Brooklyn.
Oh. You know, I met you officially at the Sean P album release party. Kind of hearing fans perform his music and his album, what are you going to kind of miss most about his contributions to the art form?
I'm not even worried about that. I just miss my brother. His contributions were something that we decided to make. I'm just missing him in life, in physical form, period. Just his voice, his character, his laugh, his sense of humor. Just him, period. Anything else after that, it all falls into missing my brother, Sean P.
I'm proving I can. I'm proving you fake. Like you moving them grams. Up and moving your flakes. I am truly your ape. Caesar the leader.
As you know, as fans, we obviously, because we don't have that real personal connection like you guys do, we relate through the artist through music, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what, for you, what album or what song do you think kind of would best represent Sean P as like a person, but then also as the artist? Or
what
just all that
song? What Sean P song? Boom by Ye.
Step in the line, drinking some wine. Up in the club, tapping my gun, fucking with Sean. Bling, 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 bling. It's a Sean Price thing. Too many clowns want to tap.
Onion Head, there's so many. There's a.
Let's go. Yo, and yo. Bitch, homie, the Swiss Army knife in my hand. Know this shit corny, but it can end the life of your fam. Niggas know Sean nice with the hands. Watch me punch up your face, dig in your pockets, leave you right where you stand. Got a dime bitch that live in Japan. Black belt suck.
There's so
chop
many songs because
he
was swift and changeable. Every ready to go into different chambers and just and give himself. Like, people think Sean P was an act. That wasn't no act. That's why he took on his real name, Sean P. His rap name was Ruck at one time, Helter Skelter. That was an act to him. Sean was real. That was Sean Price. That was his name. It wasn't what you see is what you get with him. It wasn't nothing. I mean, to us, it was because we grew up, we went to school, we ate at each other's house, slept at each other's house, did all types of things together, and then we came together and made music together, made some money together, traveled the world together, seen a lot of things. So that way it was something different. It's just like he embodied so much. He came from, we all came basically from so little of nothing to being able to see the world or give the world the gift that he was blessed with. And to this day on, hopefully his name will still continue to live on. I know we're going to keep it alive and we're going to keep rocking. That's why the new Imperious Rex album is out and it's moving.
I know we're both getting bit up here, so
hell,
I want to make this
clear. Yeah, this is killing me.
So an interview I was watching with you, you talked about how artists may or may still bring 4 or 5 albums into studio to master them and then put their own style and spin on it. What are the 4 or 5 albums that you've kind of brought in the studio that you've mastered and put your own spin on?
If I go in the studio, I would definitely have to have some Michael Jackson. I definitely have to have some Big, some G-Rap, and mix it up with a different couple of just songs from everywhere else. Again, Buju, Bob Marley, Curtis Mayfield, it's just so much. Nina Simone, just so many artists out there that can be. Me and myself, I like soulful music. So if it touches the soul, then it does something for me. It makes it easier for me to work. I don't have to start pulling from all everywhere shit that's not gonna make sense and put it together. Where soul, when once it's in the soul, it's just, it's like your ingredients to make your favorite dish on for your home cooked meal is right there on your counter. All you gotta do is reach your hand out, touch it, and sprinkle here, sprinkle here, sprinkle there. Put it in the oven, let it bake, and come out with that thing.
Tech, legendary group Smith & Wesson.
Yes, sir.
New album, Skin on Trial. Tech, thanks so much for joining me in the library with Tim Monica.
Thanks a lot, brother. Thanks for giving us this platform to inform the people and let them know what it is. Anytime you feel like it, hit me up. Tech Smokey Lie. That's what it do. Dressing up like hoes, how manly is that? Lost all respect, can't hold your head high. Might as well close your eyes, lay down and die. I'm already on trial, guilty for being black. So automatically your game banger self-crack. I mean the nerve of the wealthy. Gotta be a cure cause the sickness ain't healthy. But the trial begins, and I know I can win, but I cannot give in. I'm on track for my skin. They always talking that gold back to Africa, but they don't really want us to know our true ancestors. From queens come kings, diamonds and rings, intelligent human beings. You rather see it smoked out in police custody on the ground being choked out. Instead of rising to occasions, from ashes come the phoenix, amazing. Beautiful black female, raised in the way of the retail. Beware of the horse that's pale, every ingredient don't mix well. I don't try to preach, but I try to teach. You see what they did to Pac and my nigga Meech. Anytime some unity is being reached, they quick to come and take a leader off the streets. But the trial begins, and I know I can win, but I cannot give in. I'm on track for my skin. Old nigga, new nigga, white nigga, red nigga, wrong place at the wrong time. You a dead nigga, dead nigga. You think you're irreplaceable, get too comfortable when you an expendable. They make example quick, OJ Ponce, Mike Vick. The biggest game wear a badge, and y'all thought Michael Jackson was bad. See how they cut Zimmerman loose, technology is tight in the noose. Separated by some commas like a zero, how the game being ran by some weirdos. Culture vultures, rape and pillage, infiltrators, divide of the village. Hey kid, walk straight, master your high. Results of a brainwashed child running wild. But
the trial begins, and I know I can win, but I cannot give in. I'm on track for my skin.
We have seen too many black men try, just because they are not wealthy and they are not white.